Sugya 17 of Cheskas Gimel Shanim. So, before we get into the Gemara, Rebbe had a little bit of a hakdama on what it is to be Cheskas Gimel Shanim. Why would Cheskas Gimel Shanim even exist? So we know that usually when it comes to trying to figure out a suffik in Bailus, when someone, we want to know when someone owns something, the halacha is we usually follow the muhsak, whoever's holding on to the item. So if I want to know who owns the water bottle, you have to see who's holding on to the water bottle. Whoever's holding on to the water bottle is probably the person who owns it, instead of the marakama. The marakama, the person who used to own it, that is another person that we can assume owned it at one point. Meaning the marakama owned it at one point. But if someone's holding on to it, that muhsak beats the cheskas marakama. However, by land, there is no muhsak. You can't hold on to land. Land is sitting there. You can walk onto land, but in general, anyone can walk onto land. So land does not have muhsakus. So therefore, we probably should always follow the cheskas marakama. But we have a new rule that we're about to learn about called cheskas gimel shanim, which, for whatever reason, we're going to find out, beats the cheskas marakama. And once that cheskas gimel shanim beats the cheskas marakama, we follow the cheskas gimel shanim. So a muhsak by metaltalin, a muhsak beats a cheskas marakama, and by karka, a cheskas gimel shanim beats a cheskas marakama. So the Gemara starts off in our third parak of Bava Basra, and it says, we want to know the source for cheskas gimel shanim. How do we know that cheskas gimel shanim exists? Every single Kenyan, every single proof of ownership needs to have a source, either midoraisa or midorabanan. What is the source for cheskas gimel shanim? And we have a machlokas amuraim in the Gemara. It's probably actually machlokas tanaim. The first sheet is the whole chiusha who establishes Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael is a tana, so it's really machlokas tanaim. Rabbi Yishmael and the whole chiusha tell us we learn it from shormuad. Before we explain that, let's just say there is another sheet in the Gemara. This sheet is rabbanan. Sheetas rabbanan is that we learn it from a special gzeres hakasav. So before we get to Shitas Ravanan, that's not going to be the main point of this sugya. The main point of this sugya is Shitas Holchei Usha and Rabbi Yishmael, who say we learn out from the Sharmuot. What does that mean that we learn out from the Sharmuot? The Gemara has a lot of kashas on how we can learn Cheskas Gimel Shanim from Sharmuot. Seemingly the only connection is Cheskas Gimel Shanim is 3 years, and a Sharmuot is after it gores three times, it's Chayiv Nezek Shalim, and it has Kofar and all of the other nafkaminas of a shor muad. So how can we learn cheskas gimel shanim from a shor muad? So we have two answers in the Tosfos. Tosfos gives us a havamina as part of Tosfos's question. But for us, what we took out, we gleaned from the Tosfos over there, is that three is a rove. In general, when someone is doing something, when someone does something once, twice, three times, it's going to happen a fourth time. So, when it comes to a shor, an animal that gores once, maybe it was a one-time thing. Two, maybe it was only a two-time thing. Three times. Now the shor is becheskas nagchan, says Tosfos. Once something is becheskas nagchan, we assume it's going to gore a fourth time, a fifth time, a sixth time, and therefore that animal is called a shor muad. It is a dangerous shor. The same thing applies to our case of cheskas gimel shanim. If someone is on my field and I'm quiet for 1 year, that doesn't mean anything. If I'm quiet for 2 years, that was only 2 years. Once I'm quiet for 3 years, I made myself huchsuk. I became a shaskan, someone who is always going to be quiet, and therefore I must have relinquished my ownership of this field to him. It must be that I sold it to him 25 years ago, and that's why, or I sold it to him 3 years ago. I sold it to him before he was on the land. Now he's on the land. It shows that he really owns it because I was becheskas shaskan. So cheskas gimel shanim, we learn from Sharmuad, both of them are a rove. That is the havamin of Tosfos. Tosfos then says, actually, in the end, it's really just a gzeres hakasav. How come it works? He says, milsa delo taima. I don't understand how it works, says Tosfos, but you have to know, we learn cheskas gimel shanim from a shor muad. So that's going to be very important for us to know, in the end, that Tosfos holds that this cheskas gimel shanim is learned from a shor muad without any reason, just the stam gzeres hakasav. We saw a Ramban also, who says that when you have a cheskas gimel shanim, it is similar to a shor muad in that a shor muad takes from one rishus and it moves it to another rishus. A shor muad used to be a shor tam, and we pluck it out of the rishus of being a shor tam, and we move it over to being the rishus of a shor muad. The same thing happens by cheskas gimel shanim. It used to be in the rishus of the first owner, And what 3 years does is it lifts it from one person's rishos and it moves it to another person's rishos. This is a very, very strong thing. It's not just a raya, like Tosfos was trying to say, like, well, if you've been in the field for 3 years, then probably you own it. No, this is saying it. The 3 years lifts it from rishos of the marakama and it brings it into the rishos of the person who's being machzikit for Gimel Shanim. The last thing we saw, I'm going to insert the Kaddish Midarash over here. Not the same Kaddish Midarash that we're excited for. It'll come soon. But the Kaddish Midarash tells us that we follow a chazaka. This is really just a stam chazaka. Mistama, well, we'll get up to it. We'll get up to it eventually. But mistama, just like we know that chazaka has a machlokas, rav and abaye, when someone does something two times or three times, that is going to create a chazaka. So the same thing over here. When someone, an animal, gores three times, it is a chazaka that's going to gore a fourth time. So too, by a cheskas gemel shanim, if it happens three times, it's going to happen a fourth time. A chazaka. Maybe not necessarily rov. It might be similar to the first answer of Tosfos, the Avin of Tosfos. But that's the Kaddish Midarash. Anyways, now that we mentioned this idea of the shorm wood, it behooves us to speak a little bit about the shorm wood and why a shorm wood becomes mud, and then maybe we'll be able to understand more at least the Kaddish Midarash's answer, which is seemingly the same answer as the first Tosfos, and maybe even the second Tosfos' answer that's only Xeris Akasov. So we know there's a Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Chav Gimel, that tells us Machlokas Abaye and Rava of how to understand. There's a Machlokas Tanaim about whether the Shor Muad is about days or about gorings. So Machlokas Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir. And the Machlokas in the Gemara is Abaye and Rava about how to count those days. Is it that after two times the Shor becomes Chazaka? After two times the Shor becomes Muad and the third time it's Chayiv? Or that after three times it becomes Muad and the fourth time it's Chayiv? That's the Machlokas Abaye and Rava. Again, is it that two times makes you a muad, and therefore the third time you're chayiv because you were already a muad, this animal? Or no, three gorings makes a shor into a muad, and therefore the fourth goring is going to make him chayiv as a muad. So that's the machlokas Abaye and Rava. Now we have a kasha from Tosfos. Tosfos in our Gemara in Bava Basra says, our Gemara Bava Basra assumes that the third negicha is not chayiv. Only the fourth negicha is chayiv. So if the Argumar assumes that the fourth negicha is chayiv, that sounds like it's only shitas Abaye and not shitas Rava, because shitas Rava is that the third time it's going to be chayiv. Our Gemara in Bava Basra assumes the fourth time it's going to be chayiv. So that's a kasha, because we know we always paskin like Rava over Abaye. So how come our Gemara in Bava Basra is paskin like Abaye? Tosfos answers two different answers. The first answer Tosfos says is, why do you assume that Abaye and Rava are arguing? I tricked you guys beforehand when I was explaining the Gemara in Bava Basra, in the Gemara in Bava Kama, that I told you that that the Shor Muad is a Machlokas Abaye and Rava, that whether the fourth time is Chayev or the third time is Chayev, that's not true. Rava and Abaye both hold that the fourth Negicha is going to be the one that's Chayev. So then what's the difference between Abaye and Rava? Mashmos Darshim, they have Psukim and they have a Machlokas about how to understand the Psukim. But really Abaye and Rava both agree, fundamentally, halachically they agree, that the only time that an animal is going to become, is going to be chayiv as a Shor Muad, is the fourth Negicha, not the third Negicha. Everything works fine with our Gemara and Bava Basra. Second answer is Rabbeinu Ezra. Rabbeinu Ezra says that even though, you're right, Abaye and Rava are arguing about 3 and 4, they're really just arguing about the 4th Negicha. Does it have to be on day 4? Or can it even be on day 3? Meaning, Negicha number 1, we're speaking within Rabbi Yehuda, who cares about days? So therefore, the 1st Negicha is on day 1. 2nd Negicha is on day 2. 3rd Negicha is on day 3. The question is, the 4th Negicha. When is the 4th Negicha happening? So, Rava says, the 4th Negicha can even happen on the 3rd day. So you can have 1 Negicha on the 1st day, the 2nd Negicha on the 2nd day, and the 3rd and 4th Negicha on the 3rd day. But for Abaye, it needs to be 4 days with 4 negichas. If there's a 4th negicha on the 3rd day, that doesn't count. That's Rabbeinu Ezra's answer. It's a little bit more mathematical to follow along with. But so those are going to be the two answers for how come our Gemara seems to paskin like Abaye. Now is our opportunity to bring back the Kaddish Midarash, who we said, really, he thinks that the whole idea of the whole idea of the Shar Muad is that the Shar Muad is Muchzak. The Shar Muad is Chazaka, just like we know Abaye and Rava are arguing about 2 and 3 over here. We also know that there's a Machlokes about, later on in the Gemara, it speaks about when a baby dies, at when a woman has multiple children who die from Bris Mila. So the question is, at what point does it come a Chazaka? And we assume that the next baby is also going to be is also going to die from the Mila. So we see this idea of Chazaka applies to the Shar Muad. So we see from here the Kodesh Medar says that the Shar Muad is really just another example of a Chazaka. So too, he's going to apply that to our case of Cheskas Gamashanim also being a Chazaka, like we said earlier. This is against the Tosfos, because Tosfos holds what? Tosfos holds that Cheskas Gimel Shanim is Xeris Akasiv. Tosfos holds that I don't know why 3 makes a difference. By Shar Muad, I don't know why 3 makes the difference. I don't know why by Cheskas Gimel Shanim 3 makes a difference. It just does. And therefore, this whole Svara of the Kodesh Midarish that everything follows Chazaka, because once it happens 3 times, it's probably going to happen a 4th time, does not work with Tosfos. Okay. So the next part of Shir we're going to speak about is the next question of the Gemara. Like we said before, when the Gemara and our Gemara back in Bava Basra, Bava Basra tells us that the Shita of the whole Che'usha and Rabbi Shmuel is that Cheskas Gimel Shanim is learned out from the Shar Muad. Just like Shar Muad is Chayiv 3 times after the 3rd time, so too Cheskas Gimel Shanim is also going to be Chayiv, is going to be owned after 3 times. The Gemara then asks, but wait a second. We know that Shar Muad does not need a Taina. If someone's shor gores 3 times, he doesn't need anything other than the 3rd goring. There doesn't need to be a taina. A taina means someone comes in and says, your shor is chayiv misa. Even if no one comes in and says the shor is chayiv misa, still, the shor is chayiv misa, still he's chayiv to pay money to the person who the shor killed. So then why does Cheskas Gimel Shanim need a taina? Again, if Cheskas Gimel Shanim is learned from Shor Muad, then she had the same exact halacha as Shor Muad. So why doesn't it? Why does it not need a taina? And Gemara asks that question. Now, it comes in the Rishonim, and they don't understand the question of the Gemara. The Gemara is assuming that it could be that a Cheskas Gimel Shanim does not need a Taina. That's ridiculous. There's a Mishnah explicitly that says a Cheskas Gimel Shanim needs a Taina. So how do we understand the Hava Amina of the Gemara? It's a little bit of a complicated question, because we're asking on the Hava Amina of the Gemara. Of course, at the end of the day, the Gemara agrees that a Cheskas Gimel Shanim needs a Taina. The question is, on the Hava Amina, how can we even assume it doesn't need a Taina? So we have 4 different answers. All of these answers are going to basically be doing the same thing. It's saying, it's not a Taina, but it's enough of a Taina that the Gemara thought it would be a good enough Taina. It's not a Taina, but the Gemara thought it would be a good enough Taina. So what is that? Let's go through it. So, the first answer, there's 2 answers in Tosfos. First answer of Tosfos is, when someone stands back and does not do anything, i.e., in our case of the Cheskas Gimel Shanim, where the original owner, the Merkama, is not being Mocha, that Imacha is a teeny taina. So that works. The Gemara assumes that would work, and you don't need a full-fledged taina. All you need is the lack of macha. Answers the Gemara, no, that's not a good taina either. That's the first way that Tosfos reads the Gemara. The second way Tosfos reads the Gemara is, there's this whole fancy sugya later on, we're not going to get into it too much, but Mipalin Yazavne Dezavne Minach, that I bought it from him, and he bought it from you. Either way, the point is that is a taina that is not strong enough alone. It needs a migo along with it. It is a half of a taina. So we found the half of a taina. The Gemara assumes that half of a taina is going to work for Cheskas Gimel Shanim, maybe because it doesn't need a full taina, because it's similar to the Shar Muad. Answers Tosfos, answers the Gemara. It's not true. Really need a full-blown taina. The third answer is the answer we saw in the Ramban. And this answer we saw in the Ramban earlier. What was the Ramban's answer? How do we know Cheskas Gimel Shanim from Shar Muad? His answer was because it takes it from one rishus and moves it to another rishus. So therefore, we assume the havamina is, why would you ever need a taina for that? Maybe you don't need any taina. When you take something from one rishus and bring it to another rishus, you need 0 tainas at all. All you need is you don't need a proof for anything. If it's in my rishus, if I just made a kinyan, it's 100% mine. So the Ramban says, no, even though it works so strong, it's basically like a full-blown kinyan, that it came from the rishus of the Marakama, and it went into the rishus of the new person who is Mochsak for 3 years, still, we would say that you need a Taina, the Gemara says, Kamash Malan. The last thing is the Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says that lo hayudvar me'olam is the time. It's very similar to what Tosfos said. Tosfos said a lack of a macha, when someone doesn't say anything, the original owner doesn't say anything, and that is enough to say, oh, maybe that's a small taina. Maybe this works, and it doesn't need a full-blown taina. For this cheskes kamashanim, kamashmalan, you need a full-blown taina. Here also, where you say, lo hayudvar me'olam, when the original owner says, I don't know what you're talking about, this is my field, I never saw you on this field one time. So that's a taina. Even though that taina never works in the rest of Shas, there's a havmin over here that it does work. Kamashmalan, it doesn't work. Okay, so four answers about why, even though we obviously always need a chazaka shiyesh imo taina, over here, the Gemara had a havamina that you do not need a taina. Kamash malan, you need a full-blown taina. Not just these semi-tainas, whether it's a lack of a macha, or whether it's a mipalni zavnilach, or whether it's from lohayit v'mi olam, you need a full-blown taina. Chatzi taina doesn't work. Last part of this sugya is the orachayim part, the more fun part. We had the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. About the Sharmuad, whether the Sharmuad works with three gorings or 3 days. And Rabbi Meir says, of course it works with 3 days. Why is that? Because if you have a shor that gores day one, he gores once on day one, once on day two, once on day three, and that makes him a shor that is a Sharmuad because it is a murderer, it is a shor that likes to kill. So if it does it in three different days, if Richik Nigichosav is going to become a Sharmuad, Kirev Nigichosav, if he does three gorings in one day, Lokol Shekin, that is a more belligerent animal. That animal is more likely to be Muad. So therefore we see that for Rabbi Meir, a Sharmuad doesn't need to be three gorings in 3 days. It can even be three gorings in one day. Kirev Nigichosav, Lokol Shekin. Our Gemara connects this line of Rabbi Meir. If Richek Nigi Chosav is a Muad, Kirev Nigi Chosav lo kol shekein, it says just like that applies by a Shar Muad, so too it's going to apply by Cheskas Kamashanim. If usually Cheskas Kamashanim means 3 years, because a year is an Achila, usually a crop takes a year to grow, and therefore if you eat oranges in 1 year, they're not going to be a new crop of oranges until the next year. However, and therefore you need 3 years of new crops of oranges to show this growing of oranges was mine, and this year's growth also was mine, and this year's growth was also mine. But, says the Gemara, b'shem Rabbi Meir, if you would be able to say three achilas in one day, how is that possible? Te'enim. I don't know how te'enim works. Supposedly, you can have three different growings of a te'ena on a tree. So you can have a tree, I don't really understand, you wake up in the morning, and there's one fig on the tree, you pluck it off, you go there for lunch, and there's a brand new fig that grew there, you pluck it off again, and then that night there's a third fig there, so you plug the fig again. Okay, so if that's the metzias, which it sounds like it is, or something close to that, so then you could do three achilos in one day. If richik achilosav works in, if richik achilosav works in 3 years, kol shekein kiriv achilosav in one day even. Okay, so that is how we established, that's how we compared our case to the case in Bava Kamma, Rishitas Rabbi Meir of the Sharmuad. The Sharmuad is kiriv nigichosav lo kol shekein, the svara of Rabbi Meir, and our Gemara applies it also. Now, we have this third time we're going to apply this kol shekein. We already applied the kol shekein once by the Sharmuad. We applied it a second time by achilos and by cheskes kamashanim. The third time we're going to apply it is by saying v'sein talamot levracha, by saying mashiv v'rach mered geshem. The halacha is that, says the Yerushalmi, after 30 days of saying mashiv v'rach mered geshem, 30 days after saying v'sein talamot levracha, so you are assumed that you're going to continue saying it. It's a hergel. It's assumed that the next time, on day 31, since you've said Mashiv Baruch so many times, the next time you say Shemoneh Esrei, of course you're going to end up saying it again. And therefore, if you don't know, if you're misupik about whether you said Mashiv Baruch, if it's within the first 30 days, then we assume that you said Mashiv Baruch, that you forgot to say Mashiv Baruch HaMer Geshem. But if it's after 30 days, then we assume that you did say Mashiv Baruch HaMer Geshem. Good. Says the Maharam Meirutenberg, just like Rabbi Meir gave us the Svara of Richek Negichosav, Kirev Negichosav Lokol Shekain, and we also applied it in Baba Basra, Richek Achilosav, Kirev Achilosav Lokol Shekain. This sounds like a Svara that we're very, very comfortable with. We should apply it to Mashiv HaRuach, Morid HaGeshem also, and therefore comes the song. I don't know, my shul doesn't do the song, but supposedly some shuls do the song. Every shul does the song. That you sing Mashiv HaRuach, Morid HaGeshem, you sing the same Talmud to the Bracha 90 times in a row. We say Talmud Rebracha because that would only apply.
You do not say that one.
You don't say that one.
No, that's
just Mashiv
Ruach.
Yeah. I assume the same Svara would work. I don't know. But Mashiv Ruach, Morid HaGeshem, you say it 90 times in a row because davening 3 times a day for 30 days equals 90 times. So if the Yerushalmi decided, if Chazal told us that 30 days, which is 90 tefilos, works to order to create a chazakah, so seemingly 90 times in one day, kol shekain could work, just like we see in Bava Kama by the Sharmud and in Bava Basra by the Cheskas Gimel Shanim. That's what the Maram tells us to do. Now, Rabbeinu Peretz does not like that. Rabbeinu Peretz gives a few reasons what the problem would be. Number one, Rabbeinu Peretz says you can't just make up Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGeshem out of thin air. You can't just say the words Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGeshem 90 times in a row. That doesn't create a hergel. What you need to do is you need to say all of Shemona Esrei every single time. Big problem with that is that's a lot of brachal of atalas. So therefore, Rabbeinu Peretz says it's a nice idea. The svar should carry over. However, it doesn't work because you need to be able to say all of Shemona Esrei 90 times in a row, and you're not allowed to say 90 Shemona Esreis in one day. The other rejection of Rabbeinu Peretz was more fundamental. It's that, and this is what we're going to go a little bit deeper into, it's that the teva, the svara applies by a shor. Because by a shor muad, we're trying to figure out what kind of shor it is. What is its teva? So you could be megala the teva of a shor with its kol shekain. If the shor is a crazy shor because it gores 3 times in 3 days, kol shekain is a crazy shor if it gores 3 times in 1 day, that's just trying to figure out the teva of the shor. So that's for sure going to work. However, you cannot apply that to Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGeshem. We're not trying to figure out the teva of a person. We're not trying to figure out, am I a Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGeshem dicka guy? What am I? I'm trying to figure out if I have the hergel. Some days, and I'll prove to you that it's not on the teva of the person, because some half of the year I say Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGeshem, half of the year I don't say Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGeshem. And therefore, it's just about hergel. Hergel needs a full Shemona Esrei. Hergel does not work with just saying the words Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGeshem, the Svar of Remeir does not apply. Okay, now we have a drisha. The drisha, we'll try to say a little bit quickly. The drisha has a kasha on the Maram anyways. He says, how could the Maram paskin like Rabbi Meir? We know he paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against this kol shekain, right? Let's go through the Gemara again. The Gemara says, if your shita's Rabbi Meir, the Gemara in Bava Kama says, if your shita's Rabbi Meir, then you could say, richek nigichosav kirv nigichosav lo kol shekain. And then the Rabbi Yehuda responds, we have a pasuk by the Zava. The pasuk by the Zava says, if the Zava is kirev ri'ioseha, if the Zava sees Zava in less times than she's supposed to, if she sees 3 Zavas in 3 ri'ios in one day, that doesn't help. She's not considered a Zava. It needs to be 3 times spread out. I think it was in 7 days or something like that. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda seemingly completely rejects the kol shekain of Rabbi Meir. So the drisha says, how come the Maharam Meirutenberg is giving us a psak halacha that works with shitas Rabbi Meir if we reject the shitas Rabbi Meir because Rabbi Yehuda says we learn from pasuk and zava? Answers the drisha. No, Rabbi Yehuda fundamentally agrees to the kol shekain. It's a fantastic kol shekain. It's just that zava is gzeiras hakasav, so zava doesn't work because it's gzeiras hakasav. The shah and the zava doesn't work because it's gzeiras hakasav. However, if you can find something that we can utilize the kol shekain outside of a gezeiras hakasav, for example, Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGeshem, that is going to be a good usage. The last question we had, I'll just say it quickly, we just said gezeiras hakasavs are going to be exceptions to this rule of the kol shekain, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, we're passing Rabbi Yehuda, let's go in our heads in psak mode right now, we're passing Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, when there's a pasuk like Zava, we are not going to say the kol shekain. When there's no pasuk like Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGeshem, we are going to say the kol shekain. Now we have a kasha, because the Gemara applied the kol shekain to Cheskas Gemal Shanim, right? In our Gemara, we should say, Richik Achilosav, Kirev Achilosav, Lo Kol Shekain. What's the pasuk by Cheskes Gimel Shanim? Ah, so here comes the drisha, and the drisha says Cheskes Gimel Shanim is the same thing as a sharmud. We already said that there's a drush over there, and therefore, just like a sharmud is considered a kasuv, and so too the Cheskes Gimel Shanim. I said it wrong. Sorry, I apologize. We want to see the Gemara in. Repeat it. The Kasha is not a Kasha on Halacha. The Kasha is only a Kasha on Rabbi Meir. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. But the Gemara in Bava Basra says, if you say like Rabbi Meir, which obviously we don't paskin like, but if you say like Rabbi Meir, then we're going to be able to apply this Kol Shekhin. The Drisha's Kasha is not on Halacha. It's not on Rabbi Yehuda. The Drisha's Kasha is on Rabbi Meir. How come the Gemara assumes that only Rabbi Meir would say this Kol Shekhin? Didn't we just say that Rabbi Yehuda applies this Kol Shekhin? Didn't we say that Rabbi Yehuda agrees fundamentally to the svara of Richek Kirev Lo Kol Shekhin? So therefore he should also apply it to Cheskes Gimel Shanim and Sharmuot. So we have an answer. The answer is, by Gzeiras HaKasuvs, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Meir. He only agrees with Rabbi Meir when it comes to the svara. But if you have a Gzeiras HaKasuv against it, for example, by a Zava, then we're going to say, we do not hold of this Kol Shekhin. Now, we know for sure Sharmuot's a pasuk. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda argues Rabbi Meir by Sharmuot. But we have a problem with Cheskes Gimel Shanim, because Cheskes Gimel Shanim is not a pasuk. Cheskes Gimel Shanim is, I don't know what it is. So if Cheskes Gimel Shanim is a svara, it should follow along the lines of the Kol Shekhin of Rabbi Meir. And this is where the Drisha says, no! Of course, the source of Cheskes Gimel Shanim is Sharmuot. The source of Sharmuot is a pasuk. So Cheskes Gimel Shanim is also... like Sharmuot, it's also Pasuk, and therefore, when it comes in the end of the day, for Shitas Rabbi Yehuda in the Psak, based on the Drisha, he's going to say that the only time that we're going to say the Kol Shekhin is by things that are not in the Pasuk, for example, Mashiv Racham Rad Geshem, but anything else that has a Pasuk, for example, Zava, or for example, Sharmuot, or even Cheskes Gimel Shanim, which is learned from Sharmuot, those are all going to be subject to the Gzeiras HaKasuv, they're not going to be subject to the Kol Shekhin of Rabbi Meir.